Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say! Brilliant!
Oh, this young man is a sensation! Dele Alli, out of League One, into the Premier League! Oh, what a goal! It's Danny Rose on his Premier League debut!
Sheringham Fleck and Klinsmann is in!
He's got it lost under his feet and it's come from the middle!
Welcome back to another edition of the Internet's most dangerous Tottenham Hotspur podcast. We're a little late this week, but that has more to do with the holidays than anything else, so we appreciate your patience. I am joined this week to discuss a 2-1 win, last-minute win against Wolves. I almost said Watford there. By Brian Ashlock and by Reno Wallabout. Guys, that was a last-second win. Many tabloid writers, or I guess the Athletic writers, have declared this a sign that Spurs are back and that Mourinho is instilling a winning mentality, a last-ditch winning mentality that wasn't there before. Brian, would you say this is an accurate characterization of what we saw on Sunday?
No, but, I mean, we won the game, so that is like an improvement over where we were about, you know, 2 months ago. So, you know, you got to write something, I guess, but... I don't think that I would characterize what happened as a particularly like Mourinho performance, or that this was Mourinho putting his stamp on Spurs to get like a traditional Mourinho 2-1 win. I don't think this was nearly like that comfortable of a match, and I think, you know, Wolves were actually pretty dangerous throughout the whole thing. So, you know, the fact that we got a late equalizer. A late winner is certainly a step up from where we would have been in September and October, but I don't know that, you know, it's down to Jose and his putting his stamp on this team.
Well, I think it's right and I think it's wrong. On the one hand, I think you're right. This is not anything, I think, unique to Jose Mourinho. Like, this is certainly not inherently... I mean, this is a team as late as last May was, you know... having really exciting last-minute goals. Lucas Moura might have scored one that we're going to remember for a really long time. But at the same time, I think you're right, Brian. I think it's pretty indisputable that I don't think Spurs win this game the way the last couple months have been going. I know we won a last-second game to start the season against Villa. But, you know, we certainly have been trending downward in recent months, and I think this game sort of points to a... overall improvement in Spurs play, which, while I don't think we played great on the day, I think is clearly there. I think if you want to point to something Mourinho has done that really had an effect on the club, I think, and Rob, I'm curious to see what you think of this, I think our defense is actually where I would sort of maybe point to this. Our midfield was, I think, kind of garbage, as it tends to be when Ndombele is hurt. But at the same time, I think that we defended the sort of area in front of the keeper a lot better than we had in a while, particularly crosses, which they were enjoying pumping into the box. Wolves had a lot of chances. I think you would struggle to point to too many quality chances.
Well, there was that one pretty impressive save that Gazzaniga had to make on the flashing header.
Mm-hmm.
But Judd... if you look at the shot chart for Wolves, it sure does look like they had nothing going on in terms of creating chances in the box and right in front of goal. And it was a lot of crosses, and, I mean, you wouldn't necessarily think of a Tottenham team being good at dealing with crosses, but it seems like they did.
I mean, it almost looks like there's a horseshoe. If you look at the shot map, it's almost like there's a horseshoe.
Yeah,
you know, sort of around the goal.
Also, just some of those crosses were just really terrible. But, you know, Sanchez and Toby dealt with what they could. And I will say, actually watching the game, it sure didn't feel like that. Like, it felt like Wolves were about to score at any moment.
You know, I disagree with that. I mean, again, I half disagree with that. Let me put it that way. It felt like Wolves kept getting, you know, like why are they in our half so much? Why are they keep sending crosses in? But like when we got the ball for a moment, or when they weren't, when we cleared it, you know, you sort of, I at least had this sort of realization of like, boy, they're really not like, they're not testing Gazzaniga all that much.
No. I mean, if you go back and look at it, they really didn't. And I think Jimenez had a pretty terrible day.
You just hate to see it.
Jota. Yeah, you hate to see it. Jota, whatever his name is, was pretty terrifying. And Adama, I mean, terrified Vertonghen for a good two-thirds of the match. And the result justifies Mourinho's decision to just have everybody else take turns kicking the shit out of him, which by the way, is just an amazing strategy, and I wish soccer teams used it more often. Just like delegating your yellow cards. It's like, hey, it's your turn. The way that they do in basketball, with where they count up how many fouls guys have, and it's just like, all right, it's your turn to use a bunch of fouls on the other team's best player. If Adama Traore was not Adama Traore, he obviously wouldn't be that good at dribbling, but he might be better at crossing, passing, and shooting. So it might have caused more trouble than it did. So then, of course, the goal they scored was the stupidest of all their chances, and one of the tiniest little boxes on the shot chart.
Well, I mean, I've said this before. There's something uniquely frustrating about a stupid goal that is scored that, like, frankly, there's probably not a lot you could do about that. I mean, maybe it speaks to Spurs' sort of general lack of control of the midfield or something like that. But frankly, you know, Traore just fucking kicked the shit out of a ball from distance and it happened to go in. I mean, that's not the result of a particularly cutting move or, you know, them really breaking down their defense.
But it's not a coincidence that it's a shot that, even though he spent most of the time on the wings, it's a shot that came from the space that on most teams would be where your defensive midfielder would be standing. Which, of course, is not a thing that Tottenham does, but, you know.
Our midfield leaves a lot to be desired. I wonder how much Ndombele solves some of these problems, but clearly we need to go get someone who will do what Eric Dier does, but, you know, well.
I mean, you know, the Sissoko Dier midfield is a midfield. I still like this better than any combination of midfield that involves Harry Winks, even though Winks was kind of on the pitch when the winner was scored. But I don't know. Dier does some things that we needed, obviously.
Yeah, Dier is good at some things. He's just, maybe there is a time in the future when he will actually be fit enough to move laterally, but this is not that time.
I don't think that's going to happen with Spurs. Like, I understand he's had a lot of surgeries and problems, but boy, if it's not, I feel like if this is what he's looking like now, it's going to take a while for him to get his fitness back, if it ever comes back at all.
But hey, Lucas scored a really good
goal. Yeah, actually, Spurs scored two really good goals. Say what you want about Lucas, because I actually think Lucas didn't have a great day at the office, all things considered. But man, that guy scores some really good fucking goals. I mean, he kicks the shit out of the ball. His headers are exciting because you never expect him to get that high up. I mean, this was just like, you know, beating the keeper near post, shooting the ball into the ceiling of the net. Man, that was a really good goal.
Can you think of anyone else that little who can kick the ball that hard?
I mean, Defoe back in the day?
Defoe, yeah. That reminds me a lot of Defoe in that way. Like, he just kicks the ever-loving shit out of the ball.
Yeah, and I guess it's a little infuriating. He's not more consistent, but, you know,
that's,
I mean,
the story of his career.
Yeah, I mean, the nice thing about Lucas, though, is you could just put him on, and on some level, it keeps the other team honest. But, God, when he gets that ball, it's really good. The other goal, of course, was Jan Vertonghen's, extremely late winner. With a really, I mean, that's the kind of goal where I feel like if you're a keeper and you're watching it afterwards, you get extremely mad about yourself because, I don't know, watching that live on television, I feel like I had enough time to go make a sandwich and, like, brew a cup of coffee between the time, like, Jan hit it with his head and the ball went in the back of the net. But it was really well placed. It was a really good goal. And, you know, I don't know. That's kind of what Spurs need. We're 3 points off of fourth. If we beat Chelsea this weekend, we're going to be in fourth place. Like Spurs have dragged themselves into a pretty good position considering where they were when, you know, Mauricio got fired. So, I don't know. Good work, team. Like, this was not a pretty game, and we're going to have to play better than this down the stretch. And I think this game underlined what kind of reinforcements we need in midfield. But shit, like, good work, guys. Good work to steal in this one.
Champions win games like this, Greg.
Is that what the Manchester United fans are saying?
Is that not what we're supposed to say?
I think we try to convince ourselves of that. It never works out.
Hey, but, you know, Wolves are a good team. It was a tough away match. Shitty weather. They didn't deserve it, but who cares? They won. Like, they won.
But I wouldn't say – would you guys say Wolves deserve to win this?
I don't think they did enough to win it, no.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
They had a lot of possession and they had a lot of like shots, but like they didn't have any good shots and they didn't have like a significant amount more on target than us. And, you know, while like their sheer possession and like the way it felt some of the time, like Rob said earlier, Adama Traore was terrifying every time he got the ball and ran it for Tongan. But I don't think that they did enough or created enough dangerous chances to say that, you know, they deserve to win. I think maybe a draw would have been a fair result. Like, you would have walked out of there and you'd be like, ah, all right, that's fine. But yeah, I mean, we did.
I could think of more, you know, like, boy, we should have scored that chances for Spurs than I can think of for Wolves. Like, I mean, Dyer's hitting the post is the one that sort of most comes to mind. But there were a couple others, too.
Yeah, but, you know, look, I think the thing is at the beginning of the season, we were finding ways to not win matches. And against worse teams than Wolves. You know, when you look at the Watford matches.
Newcastle.
Brighton. Yeah, Newcastle. And so to, despite having less of the ball, despite giving up, you know, more shots, to come away from a match away from home with a victory, like that is progress from, you know, where the team was performance-wise, and probably also, you know, from a just a mental state wise, from where we were, you know, a month ago, 2 months ago. It's been huge.
I mean, I don't know. I am skeptical, or I don't want to say skeptical. I just don't know what this all looks like in, you know, 3 months, where Spurs are in the table, what our style of play is like. Obviously, a lot of this is Mourinho just trying to scrape through results in the short term, but I can't argue with you, Brian. It feels different. It feels like we have arrested the skid, at least. Like I said, I did not think we would have much of a chance at making fourth, and obviously it's been helped that Chelsea have really gone on the skids lately, but, you know, we've really gotten results in a way that I think, like you said, we hadn't been getting results before. You know, and, I mean, Wolves isn't United or some of these other teams, but I feel better having gotten points like this against a good team. And honestly, even on some level, the defensive performance lends me some confidence in this team.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we can say that Wolves isn't United, but like so far over the course of the season, Wolves basically is United. You know, I mean, Wolves have actually probably played better football than United at times.
And yeah, I mean, and they've beaten better teams at home.
Yeah, season. And we have to take into consideration
really to play.
Wolves were like what 11 unbeaten in the league at the time. You know, so it's not like, you know, this is not like this is a match against Aston Villa or a match against Watford, which we drew. But, you know, Wolves are an ambitious team and they are performing well. Like, they're, you know, they advanced in Europa. They are, you know, aside from prior to this, like I said, they'd been unbeaten for a while. They're competing for the top six again. I think this is probably the best win that Mourinho has so far.
I don't know. I mean,
who else has he beaten? We've got West Ham, not that good. We've got Olympiacos, not that good. We beat Bournemouth. That game wasn't fun. Lost to United. We, you know, crushed Burnley, which, okay. And then lost to Bayern Munich. I mean, this is probably the best result that we've gotten against the best team that we've played other than Bayern Munich.
Yeah. And maybe the performance wasn't great, but who cares? Earlier in the season, it was, hey, it could get better, hey, it could get better, hey, it could get better, while we were losing and drawing games against shitty teams. Like, there's still a lot of room for it to get better, but at the same time, we're picking up points.
I mean, but there's a world in which, I mean, if we played the same game in, like, October, would we feel good about it? I mean, I know we weren't getting last-minute winners, but, I mean, we got one against Villa.
I think if you would have told me, like, hey, we'd won 4 out of 5 coming in, and then, you know, we kept that going with, like, a match where we didn't look great, but then we, you know, stole it at the death, I think, of course. But I think if you told me that instead that, like, at the beginning of the season where we were on some shitty run and we still hadn't won away from home since February or whatever, January of 2019, and, oh, well, you know, we snuck one, you'd be like, well, we got an away win, I guess, so that's something. But, like, the performance wasn't great. So, I mean, it's context, you know? I think it has gone, you know, kind of unremarked upon that now we are winning away matches, which is a nice change.
I mean, that is a huge change, and it's worth pointing out this was on the road.
So, I mean, that's wins at West Ham and Wolves now, you know, which not the most exciting of victories, and we didn't win at Old Trafford, but, I mean, we hadn't been winning at all away from home before, so, you know, it's a pleasant change.
Yeah, and as we said before we started recording, we've already gotten a lot of the toughest away matches out of the way, so, you know. Already went to City, went to Arsenal, went to United, went to Liverpool. So,
I mean, the second half of the season is basically, the second half of the season is we have to go to Chelsea, and I think that's it in terms of the big teams that we have to go on the road to face, unless I miss one.
Well, I mean, so how are you feeling about our top four chances right now? I mean, I think we're going to learn a lot against Chelsea this weekend. And, I mean, on some level, it's a little difficult because, I don't know, Chelsea might be really falling apart here. And I think we're going to see a lot of that against Spurs. This is going to be, I think for the first time since Mourinho took over, he's had a full week to game plan. To game plan for this, so I'm hoping we're going to get a little less just trying to get through it than we've had.
Well, I think, you know, in looking at 538 this week and their kind of predictions and projections, I think we're now at something like 45% or 55% for top four now, and I think that's kind of about how I feel about it. We're kind of like a 50-50, basically, between us and Chelsea. I think the other three teams that are there right now, Liverpool, Leicester, and Manchester City, are probably pretty good bets for finishing in the top four the rest of the season. I think it's just going to come down to kind of us and Chelsea and who can figure out a coherent plan to keep getting results down the stretch. And so, I'll be honest, I have a little more faith in Jose Mourinho than I do in, you know, second-year manager Frank Lampard. So I feel pretty decent about our chances going forward.
I mean, I'll tell you this. I'll feel a lot better about Spurs if they can if they can get some, if they can look good against Chelsea, I'll feel a lot better about Spurs. Even if Chelsea turn out to be a bunch of frauds who fall apart down the stretch, like, I'll still feel a lot better about them.
You know what's crazy about this version of this match? It was that Mourinho is on our side for once.
It's extremely weird. I mean,
like, remember all of the matches against Chelsea where Mourinho would make it as just horrible as possible, and it would just end up really stupid. This time, it's our manager who's going to be crawling inside the other manager's brain, and
I hope so.
Well, this will be Lampard's first time facing, you know, his old boss, and so, you know, how will he react to having to face, you know, Jose Mourinho?
I don't know. I feel like if this just was Mourinho versus Lampard on some other teams, it would be some real let them fight bullshit. But now I still don't know how to feel about Mourinho being our manager, guys. It's very weird.
No, but it's awesome, though.
Is it? Certainly the team is playing better than they had been, and I'm still sad that Pochettino left, but like...
No, every press conference just makes it more and more amazing. Like... Honestly, though, come on. The press conferences are so much more fun now than they used to be. You know, under Pochettino, he gave, like, these, like, non-answers that everyone was like, oh, look how much he cares about the club. And, like, but he didn't say anything. And Jose Mourinho gets up there and actually says words that make sense in a sentence and, you know, are actually insightful. And it's just like, this is what an interview could sound like. Like, it's great.
Do you think... When do you think, like, the mask is going to slip? Do you think he just needs to, like, have some really good result? Like, I don't know, whoop the shit out of Chelsea, and Mourinho is going to be back to, like, swinging his dick around in press conferences, talking how great he is, and implying that if Levy doesn't give him the players he needs, then this is all going to fall apart?
I mean, I think we're looking at until the summer, at least, until... we see something like, you know, demanding transfer or something like that. But
Brian, there's a transfer window in like 2 weeks. You really think Mourinho's going to make it through that?
Yeah, because I think, I mean, at least publicly already, he's acknowledged that, hey, we're not going to sign anybody. Now, that's not to say that maybe he won't get a subtle dig in about how, like, yeah, we need people, but, you know, we're really not in a position right now.
Well, I'm expecting more of the, like, the poor... Well, guys, I'm doing what I can, but, you know, we're not getting any transfers, so what do you expect me to do with this depleted squad? Like, yeah, I'm expecting the sort of woe is me, poor Mourinho act.
I think it's much more likely that the mask slips if things start to go south a little bit.
Well, I guess it could slip in different ways, but yes, that's fair.
Like... arrogant winner Mourinho, I think, is like we all expect that, but if he has to start justifying himself because, you know, results aren't going his way as much, I think we'll see petty, bitter old man Mourinho come out a lot more.
Well, if we make top four this year, I think you could really expect Mourinho to do some, like, this is one of my finest coaching job bullshits. You know, at the end of the year, just feeding that to us. I don't know. I honestly, in terms of the Mourinho experience, I'm really looking forward to the transfer window because I feel like it's gotten kind of weird over the last few years, and I think with Mourinho, it's going to get even weirder, and I'm kind of excited to see that.
I still can't. Obviously, he knew what he was getting into. So the fact that he signed up for this, I don't know what...
I mean, he signed up for it because he doesn't have a lot of choice. Like, if he wants another big club job, he needed someone to be desperate, and I think we were first up on the carousel. And if this doesn't work out, he's going to Portugal one way or another. I mean...
It's going to get weird.
But it's going to be so fun.
Well, it's certainly different.
Like, even when it's weird, it's going to be fun. Like it will be less fun because it's happening to us, but, like, objectively, it will be fun.
I respect your commitment to enjoying this, Brian.
I mean, I got to say, it's we talked about this on this podcast. We were talking about the same fucking thing every fucking week for, like, what, 3 months, it felt like? At least now there's some different shit to talk about.
It was definitely longer than 3 months.
I mean,
Since January of 2019.
Like, yeah, well, no, because we had the Champions League. We had the Champions League to distract us, Brian. That was totally different.
True, yeah. Nah, it'll be fun. It'll be a blast. but Chelsea are bad now, so this will be an interesting game.
All right, so looking at the Chelsea match, like, I think we all know what we think of Spurs, and I think there's a little bit of, you know, I think looking at Spurs, there's very much of a, I'm a little perplexed as to what we will look like, just because I think we've had a lot more time to prepare for this match than we've had all year, or at least under Mourinho. So I wouldn't be shocked if we get a couple new tricks, but generally we kind of know where Spurs are, and there's sort of hovering between that Wolves performance and that Bournemouth performance where, you know, we'll see what we're going to see. What do you think we're going to get out of Chelsea this week? Brian?
I mean, well, you would hope that you would see the same level of shitty performance that we've seen out of them for the last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks. They just haven't looked good. And the one thing that they especially haven't looked good at is defending. Like, Frank Lampard does not know how to set up a defense. And, you know, they're slightly worse than us in terms of, you know, goals allowed. But, I mean, they're being saved a lot by having a pretty decent midfield when Conte is healthy. But, I mean,
is Conte healthy for this match? Do we know yet?
I don't think we know yet. I don't know if he played last weekend. We should have probably prepared and done research.
Prepared. Yeah.
It looks like he played last weekend, so I'm going to assume he's healthy.
Ah, boo.
Healthy enough to play. Healthy is another story.
But, you know, like, I just... Chelsea's a weird team because they have a lot of guys on there that are good. You know, like, Christian Pulisic has looked good at times this year. Tammy Abraham has looked good. N'Golo Kanté is still very, very good. Their defense isn't great. I mean, Rudiger is fine. Zuma is all right at times. Their fullbacks aren't particularly scary. And Kepa isn't great. So, I mean, you know, I think that if we get performances that are consistent with the way that they have performed in recent weeks, I think Spurs have a pretty good chance. You know, they played Bournemouth at the weekend, and they had a lot of the ball, but Chelsea had a lot of the ball, but didn't seem to do much with it. They didn't create much with it, and Bournemouth were able to get a late goal and get the win. So I think that would be a game that would suit Jose Mourinho and Spurs.
Rob, I know you're never confident, but how are you feeling about this match?
I will say that this is the perfect matchup to have Jose Mourinho as your manager. Because if we went guns blazing, toe-to-toe against this Chelsea team, we'd probably get our asses kicked. But Mourinho is going to just muddy the hell out of this game. And I think we could take advantage of Chelsea's willingness to be incredibly open and maybe nick another one, which would be really cool.
I think so much of this is going to depend on, do we embarrass ourselves early or...
Greg.
Okay.
I mean...
How we embarrass ourselves early.
If we do, though, like, Chelsea are going to give you opportunities to get back into the match. Like, I mean, they are, like Rob said, they're incredibly open on the counter. And if nothing else, Jose Mourinho has reinvigorated Spurs counterattack. And when you've got a Lucas Moura or Heung-min Son running at the back line of Chelsea or getting a ball over the top from Alderweireld, I think we're going to have plenty of chances and good chances to score goals against this Chelsea team.
The problem, Brian, is that if Tottenham are already losing, then they're not going to be counterattacking. They're going to be attacking, and it's Chelsea.
I don't know.
Who are going
to
be counterattacking, and that could get ugly.
I don't think Frank Lampard is capable of setting up his team to play kind of on the back foot. Not necessarily on the back foot, but like with a lead, Chelsea are not set up in such a fashion to take their foot off the gas and sit back and allow Spurs to have possession. They're still going to try to keep the ball, knock it around, have Jorginho recycle possession, that sort of thing. So I think there's still, even if Chelsea were to go up early, there would still be ample opportunities for us to counterattack, I think. And we're good at set pieces now, so maybe that would help too.
Let's maybe fucking calm down about that.
Hey, Christian Eriksen didn't hit the first man, and we scored a goal from a set piece. We're amazing at them now.
Yeah, the writers really had fun with that one, didn't they? Who were the assists on the game-winning goal, Greg?
I want to talk about it.
Christian Eriksen.
I want to talk about
it. Who changed the game when he was put in the game?
Fucking hate Christian Eriksen now. I can't believe I'm here with that. But I get so mad when he's in the game and not Lo Celso.
I don't know. I am not completely terrified, which somewhat terrifies me.
I mean, I think it is a real... I don't know. Maybe there's just a new manager bounce, but I think it's really... says something about how the mood around the team feels different. And I'm not just saying like how they talk. I mean, it doesn't feel like they're just going to go out there, do something stupid and get like trained, just wrecked like the way they had been earlier this year. And well, I mean, it does feel like
go out and do something stupid, but they're probably not going to get wrecked.
Well, even if they do something stupid, it feels like they might have a shot at fixing it now. I don't know. It feels different. That's nice. It could be a lot worse. Tottenham 2019. It could be a lot worse. But Chelsea are the only team we're anticipating playing. See how I did that seamless transition, guys? The Champions League draw was this week.
Professionalism
now,
right there.
Yeah, I know. So while Spurs need to just sort of lie, cheat, and steal their way into the Champions League next year and, you know, do whatever they can to get in there until we can fix it in the summer, we still get to play in the Champions League this week, this season, how about that? And we are going to be playing RB Leipzig, not Red Bull Leipzig, as Brian pointed out to me in the pre-show. It is Rasenball Leipzig. So, yeah, I don't know. I think Spurs fans felt the English impressionists seemed to be pretty positive, and I think that is correct insofar as we could have drawn much more difficult teams, but I don't think Leipzig is going to be a walk in the park. Do you, Brian?
No, definitely not. I mean, they're first in the Bundesliga. They finished near the top of their, or at the top of their Champions League group. I don't think we should be taking them lightly, as a lot of people have suggested. But like you said, we could have also drawn, you know, Real Madrid. I honestly don't know who won any of the groups. We could have drawn a lot worse teams, is basically all I'm trying to say. And in terms of what we actually got, I think we will get some fun and exciting football. Like, it will be, you know, RB. God damn it. I told you not to call him Red Bull before the show, and then I fucked it up.
You have become what you have beheld.
Son of a bitch. Leipzig are a young team. They've got a lot of exciting players. They've got a good young coach. They play a really open style. Like, I think it'll be fun.
Fun is, I mean, it's one of those games where, I know I said this before this year, no result would really surprise me. Like, we go through comfortably, we get our asses kicked. I mean, Nagelsmann's one of the more impressive young managers in Europe. I mean, he's certainly got that team playing well. I don't know. And I think the important thing to remember is, like, Mourinho sort of, you know, said this in press conferences, going to the interesting press conferences Brian was talking about, that, like, you know, what we're looking at now isn't what Spurs are going to look like in February. And I think, to some extent, that's worth considering. You know, we'll probably, hopefully, be a more well-oiled machine with, God willing, another defensive midfielder as part of it by then. But, you know, I don't know. This is a very young, exciting team we're going to be playing. And I honestly have no idea how it could turn out. I think you're right, Brian. These could be really, really fun games.
I mean, the thing that we're all forgetting here, of course, is that we are now managed by Jose Mourinho. So, of course, they won't be fun games.
Ah, I forgot. Sorry.
But maybe this is a different Jose Mourinho. Maybe, I don't know. But you know, I think it'll be interesting, certainly, in terms of the style difference between the two managers and the two teams, at least with how they play now. And like you said, even if we don't have a new midfielder or any transfers, we will at least be a little further bedded into Jose Mourinho's style and his tactics by the time these ties come up in February.
Who are the guys to watch on Red Bull? Or, fuck, on Leipzig?
Yeah, we really screwed ourselves by talking about that. Obviously... their good players are big names. Like, they've got Timo Werner, they've got Emil Forsberg, who was very good.
Every time I hear about Werner on Leipzig, not Red Bull, on Leipzig, I'm always like, my first thought is, didn't he get signed by Bayern? And I have to do a quick little Google search to verify that he had not, in fact, been signed by Bayern.
Yeah, he's been great for them. I think we were talking before the show, he has 18 goals in 16 Bundesliga matches. So, you know, he's not doing bad. Forsberg is very good. Their two central defenders are both very young and also just very good. Klostermann and what's the other guy's name? I'm going to butcher it. Upamecano. They're like 21 and 23 respectively, and they're great. They're very athletic, very quick. They're both very good on the ball. They're a good, exciting team. And like you said, Greg, Nagelsmann is a good coach, and he has them able to play in several different ways, different formations. He's got a lot of different types of players at his disposal that he deploys in different ways. And, I'm sure that they will have a very good plan coming off their winter break for how to deal with Tottenham Hotspur and Jose Mourinho.
I'd forgotten they get a winter break. I mean, not obviously they'll play a few weeks before they play us, but shit. How do you feel about Leipzig in general? Obviously, you know, they have been, their connection with Red Bull has made them a bit of a target for a lot of criticism over the last couple seasons. I think it's a bit of a tricky thing, because on the one hand, like, yeah, a company just like buying and funding a club like that is kind of gross. But on the other hand, if they feel a little different than a team like City in that, you know, they're signing, you know, they're kind of, I mean, we talked about this a little bit while we were getting ready for the show. Like, if you were taking sort of a mid-table to a newly promoted side sort of up the table, this is the way Red Bull's done it is kind of how you'd like to see your club do it. I mean, the money they've really spent seems to have been on infrastructure and youth development. I mean, they're not, obviously, I think they're paying more than a lot of Bundesliga clubs can afford for talent. But they seem to be doing it what I think a lot of fans would characterize as the right way in terms of player development and buying young players. And, I mean, they're not going out and getting, like, a Sergio Aguero or, you know, even a Kevin De Bruyne. I mean, they're getting fairly young, fairly unheralded or talent, or if they're not developing their own. And in some ways, that's admirable. And, you know, obviously in Germany, it's you know, I don't know, like, on the one hand, it's gross to see a club like this come into it, because there is that 51% rule in Germany where supporters have to own that much of the club. But on the other hand, you have, like, a Wolfsburg, you know, you have a Bayer Leverkusen, you know, there are clubs that are basically run by corporate entities. And I just sometimes I struggle to see the difference between between Red Bull and Leipzig and say, you know, Wolfsburg and Volkswagen, which I'm sure there are some substantial differences, but yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's sort of some of it. I understand why it annoys a lot of fans. I also feel like some of it's hyperbole. But what do you guys think? I've just talked a lot about this.
Yeah, for our German listeners, that's skipjack0079.
Thanks.
You want to at him with your...
No, I believe it's at Comrade Spurs, actually. I think that's where you can reach me with any criticism you have of that.
Yes,
on Mastodon.
Your most explicit takes on this. Like, you know who the grossest team in Germany is? It's Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich is gross. So, like, come on. Yeah,
it is gross the way that, like, I mean, I think probably where the funding felt more out of whack was when they were working their way up the lower divisions. Like, that's probably the thing we don't see right now.
Sure, but I think, like, you know, I don't know. If I were, you know, obviously American sports don't have promotion and relegation, but, like, you know, if my local team were to get a wealthy benefactor, whether it was an individual person or a company like Monster Energy or whatever, who is now affiliated with Tottenham Hotspur, by the way, and they came in and they did all the stuff that you said, like investing in the infrastructure, you know, building the training grounds and the youth academy and, you know, that sort of stuff, I feel like I'd be fine with it. You know, it's, I mean, think about how if you're a Chelsea fan and you're experiencing the Abramovich era, are you really all that upset about it? Like, your team wins stuff now, and it's good. And whether or not you had any history before that, it seems to be irrelevant.
But there's a difference between, like, that with Chelsea, I guess, to play devil's advocate here, and, like, you know, I can't even remember what the name of Leipzig was before they became Rosenball Leipzig, but, like, this was not like, okay, they're going to pump money into, like, Schalke or something. You know, they're the new owners and they're going to pump money into them. This is, we are just going to recreate this team out of nothing. I mean, you know, quite literally, they had no history.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously we're not, you know, Germans or even followers of the Bundesliga on any sort of consistent basis, but I don't know. I just feel like Red Bull, like you said, the Red Bull's association with the club is not any more objectionable than Adidas and Bayern Munich or the Bayer company and Bayer Leverkusen or Volkswagen and Wolfsburg. And I don't know. I suppose I understand it to an extent, but, like, that's just sport to me. Like, the getting a benefactor or a company like that involved is, that's just how sport works. And I understand that that's obviously not how it works in Germany, but I don't know. I feel like they've done it, like, about as organically as they can. And, like, sure, they steal the best player from Salzburg every year, but okay, whatever. Like, we lose our best player to Real Madrid every 3 years. I mean, that's just what happens. I don't know.
Well, I mean, again, I think if they were behaving in a manner closer to sort of what we typically associate with a club like this, which is, you know, like a City, and even City doesn't splash, I mean, the cash in that, like, sort of gross Yankees way that we associate that with, or that Manchester United way. But if they were spending big-time cash, then, you know, I think that, like, the reactions would make a lot more sense to me.
Yeah, because, I mean, you look at this year, their big signing was Adamola Lookman for $18 million.
And that's not nothing. And that's, like, a lot of German clubs couldn't afford that.
No, it's not nothing, but it's like they signed an English teenager who doesn't even start for them.
But that's nothing that, like, Dortmund or Bayern couldn't afford, for instance.
Exactly.
Or Schalke, even. I mean, maybe Schalke doesn't spend that, but...
But, I mean, so you've got them making smart signings where they sign, you know, their young center backs and defenders for, you know, 10 million from Salzburg, and like, okay, yeah, you've got an association with Salzburg, and so you always have basically first dibs on whoever's any good there, and like, okay, maybe that's gross, I don't know, but you've also got, you know, they're making smart buys and getting guys like Yusuf Poulsen, I'm trying to think. Like they bring in Forsberg years ago from Sweden. Like they're doing smart things. And the thing that I like about them is it seems to be kind of a holistic, like, club wide approach. That this is the way they play football. These are the types of players that they go after. They understand that, like, look, we got to buy young players. We got to develop them. And then, you know, every once in a while, we're going to sell a Naby Keita, or, you know, eventually we'll sell a Timo Werner, or we'll sell some of these young defenders, and we will make some money, and then we will use that to turn around and buy, you know, the next set of young players that are going to make us money. And they seem to be doing a good job of it. So I don't know.
You wish it was not them doing it in a certain way, because it is like, you know, it undermines a little bit of that, like, the feeling that everyone has about this club, I think, on a certain level. And I don't know, you just wish this was a more, like, I don't know. I feel like there's no major club in the first division world football that feels entirely clean. Everybody's got some sort of rich owner, but you just wish it was happening at, like, I don't know, somewhere else with a little less, you know, someone who didn't reinvent a football team like 5 or 6 years ago, because, or whatever that was. I mean, because they do things the right way in a lot of ways. They run that club in the right way, like the way they get those players in, the way they hire their managers. I mean, shit.
And in the grand scheme of all of the terrible things that happen in world football, like, is this really so bad?
Yeah, I mean, it's gross, but you're right. Of a sovereign
it's gross, but like,
yeah, compared to PSG, compared to City, probably compared to, like, you know, mega clubs like United and
Barcelona's, like you said, Bayern. Laundering, I mean, operation,
yeah,
allegedly.
I don't know. It should be a fun game, though. They're a fun team to watch, you know.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It could go like Tottenham's most recent ties against Dortmund, or it could go like Tottenham's earlier ties against Dortmund. It's hard to say, and as you guys mentioned, both teams could look different after a transfer window and a few more months of playing. We would hope that Tottenham will resemble a Jose Mourinho team a little bit more by then, and maybe have a new player or two. But that's what's so fun about doing the draw so far away from the actual matches.
I just don't want us to resemble a Jose Mourinho team too much, because, like, a lot of those knockout ties with Jose Mourinho's Chelsea and Inter and Real Madrid, and they weren't enjoyable. And I mean, I know that you have to play a certain way in knockout football, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate that Jose Mourinho has won the Champions League multiple times with different teams, and that he probably knows way more about what he's doing than I or any other Spurs fan. But some of those matches were just intolerable, and
yeah. But
I don't
to
know.
Be fair, when was the last time he won a Champions League?
Well, I guess it's Inter, right?
Yeah. So, you know, a lot has changed, and especially in the way that teams go about playing the away legs of these matches, I think has changed a lot. So,
I mean, he did also just win a European trophy with United. It wasn't the Champions League, but it was a long knockout competition. So, and his United teams did basically play that kind of shitty style.
Right, look, but this is brand new smiling Jose Mourinho, so maybe
look, Mourinho getting Spurs into a Champions League final again would be just tremendous banter.
Oh, what if Jose Mourinho won it, though? That would be the best banter.
I don't know how I would.
I just broke Greg.
I don't know how I would deal with that. Like, I literally don't know how I would emotionally handle that. Oh, I mean, amazing.
Yeah, and then I would just be justified in my opinion of this hiring. I'd be the you guys couldn't podcast with me anymore. I'd be the smuggest asshole.
Yeah, because if there's one thing this podcast doesn't have is smug assholes.
No, it's true. We really, I mean, not this week. I don't know. I mean, you know, look, it's a good setup for us. It's, I mean, they're first in the Bundesliga, but you know, if you're going to talk about it, it's either that or Valencia were the ones that you would look at and be like, okay, well, those are winnable ties where we're potentially favorites. I mean, you know, do we really want Juve or Barcelona? I don't think I did. I think the one thing that's interesting about the Champions League now is now that we've been in a few seasons, our attitude has changed from give us the best team, like let's have an away day at the Bernabeu or whatever, to all right, whoever, just give us the easy team and get us through to the next round.
Also not Liverpool.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, if we can avoid Liverpool, that'd be cool.
Let's just not embarrass ourselves.
A tall ask for Tottenham Hotspur.
A tall ask. There's always a little bit of that, no matter what. But by the same token, a pretty terrible Tottenham Hotspur team did go to the Champions League final. So
they weren't terrible in the Champions League, though. Like, they had a rough sort of fixture against City, but otherwise...
And this is basically the same team. We just
First leg against Ajax wasn't so great. The first two-thirds of the game against Ajax and the second leg weren't so great. But they still managed to get to the final. So, hey, crazier things have already happened.
What would you guys think would be, like, a success in the Champions League? Like,
Like this year?
Yeah, like we're already out of the knockouts.
I mean, getting out of the first round of the knockouts is what I meant. If they can get to the round of eight, like, I think anything after that's kind of gravy.
So if we make quarterfinals, you guys are happy.
Yeah. I mean, okay. I think you have to consider it a success, given how this year has gone. If you can get past Leipzig. Now, obviously, a lot depends on who you draw in the next round. But, yeah, I think you've got to feel pleased with getting out of the round of 16. And anything after that's gravy, considering how the season has gone.
I think it's interesting, though, like lots of the other Champions League ties drew some of the better teams like against each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you make it out of this round, you potentially wind up with some of the other good teams having already gone out. I mean, you've got Atletico playing Liverpool. You've got Chelsea and Bayern. You've got Real Madrid and City. Like, Those ties are knocking out some good teams. The only, you know, Atalanta and Valencia are playing each other, so that means one of them is automatically through to the next round. Like, that'd be great to draw
but
that.
The flip side of that is, like, who knows what Spurs' season is looking like? If let's say for the sake of argument, we make it to the round of eight. What does Spurs' season look like? Are we fighting for fourth? Are we completely out of fourth? Have we established a comfortable lead in fourth? I mean, I think that's going to play a big role in that as well.
I don't know. I think in the Champions League, you're always going for it. I don't think there's ever a world where you're like, we're going to punt on the Champions
League. I don't think they're going to punt on it, but I think we were able to do some things last year because our lead in fourth was so large that, you know, I think we were able to structure our lineup in a certain way.
Yeah, I just think I think that as a team, you understand, like, all right, guys, we're still chasing this, and we're also in the Champions League. Like, you guys are just going to have to, like, buckle down, and this is what we're doing. Whether legs can handle that or not, I guess, is the question. But
Buy some midfielders or fullbacks in the
We could just play some of the midfielders that we have that are good. We could try that.
We could try that, although I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, a boy can dream.
Crazy.
Do you guys see the article linking us to apparently Mourinho thinks that Pereira will fix our right back issues, and I need to go for a very long walk now.
Was that article from 2017?
Yeah, no, it was from 2019.
That's weird.
But, you know, it's typical. It's like, what? He's 27 now. What would he cost to get him out of Leicester? Leicester supposedly already have his replacement lined up. Why don't, bear with me here, Tottenham just sign the guy that Leicester would replace him with? Leicester is so good at buying the players that we're supposed to be buying.
But why would Leicester even sell him? Like, what's their incentive to get rid of him at this point?
Well, they have no... They're having a really good season. Why would they sell a guy who's in his prime?
Because Brandon's going to be able to pocket some of that money.
Brendan's friend who's facilitating the deal?
Yes, exactly. Is that what
you're alleging, Greg?
Exactly.
I don't know. I just, you know, I really don't think we'll get anybody. Maybe we'll get Fellaini. That'd be fine.
Oh, God.
Would it be fine, Brian?
Matic.
Fine.
No, it would be... I don't know. Fellaini is our backup striker. I'd be here for that.
It would be very banterous. We should have just kept fucking Fernando Llorente.
Yeah, we should have. I mean, he has significantly better hair.
But, generally, you know, we should have.
They move about the same amount. I don't know. I don't think we'll sign anybody. I think this is the team we're rolling with. Like, if we sign anybody, it'll be Lo Celso permanently, and that'll be it.
I think we'll do that, and then I think we're going to get... God, I just hope we buy a fucking defensive midfielder. That's all I want for Christmas, Tottenham Hotspur, a defensive midfielder.
I mean, we just spent so much money on midfielders in general, and then now all of a sudden we need a third midfielder.
Yeah,
in the
yeah,
last
because we
six
have a bunch
months.
Of we have a bunch of dead fucking weight in our midfield that needs to go.
We needed that midfielder over the summer too. We needed a lot of midfielders.
I mean, I don't know if we're gonna do a show before the end of the year, but do you guys think anybody will go in January?
I could. You mean leave Spurs?
Yeah.
I think you could absolutely see a Wanyama leave, or I don't think Dyer goes at this point, but I think you could see some of those guys go. I think if we get the right kind of right back, I think Spurs would be happy to let Serge Aurier go, but I don't see that happening.
Do you think guys like Foyth and Skip, or not Foyth, excuse me, Walker Peters and Skip will go out on loan?
I don't think so. I think we're thin enough that won't happen. I don't know what's going on because, like, Foyth was clearly sending signs through his agent that he was like, if I don't get playing time, I want to get out of here. But then Mourinho has, like, publicly talked about how much he likes Foyth. So I don't know. I think we're still – I mean, we've talked about this. I think it's still early days to, you know, think what is this Spurs team going to look like. Under Mourinho at the end of the day, and I think it's still something we don't entirely know. And
if Vertonghen is not really in the center back rotation at the moment, then
no, he's our left back in our left back rotation.
Right. So, I mean, there's a spot for Foyth to get a lot more minutes.
I do think the Christmas break is going to be very good in terms of getting some of these lesser guys a look. Not Christmas break, the Christmas period rather. Because I think he's going to be forced to use some of these guys, and he said as much. And hopefully these guys can, you know, work their way into the team a little bit more. Guys like Foyth, Lo Celso, whoever, can just find a way to assert themselves.
Yeah, it's funny because this was always a time of year under Pochettino that things really got going, and it would just be fun. It would be a shame if it kind of came back to what it normally is, and normally is for most teams, where this is a really tough period and teams generally don't roll through it. But yeah, there's a lot of games. I think we have Tottenham has a stretch where they play 2 games in 3 days, so you're gonna see a ton of rotation for that leg of it. And we got some pretty old guys now. So hopefully Mourinho's got a couple of squads worth of players that he's willing to roll out. Thankfully the fixtures are not that terrible.
Well, we do have of all the top four competitors, we have sort of the easiest second half schedule, which is nice.
Yeah. The In terms of the days off in between matches, Tottenham are have one of the tougher schedules. But after Chelsea, they play Brighton at home, and then they have away matches against Norwich and Southampton. And then FA Cup against Middlesbrough before they host Liverpool. So, you know, that's a chance to rack up some more points and put themselves in a pretty good position for the second half of the season.
So, Brian, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at Brian_Ashlock, and that is Brian with a Y.
Robert, where can people find you on the tubes?
You can find me tweeting about imposter syndrome at Reno Wallabout on Twitter.
And you can find me on Twitter at Skipjack0079. Don't forget to leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes. We always appreciate it, and we need it for that sweet, sweet sponsor money that one of these days we'll definitely sell out for and get when we become Rosin Ball Dealer Radio. Definitely going to happen in February, I think. Anyway, thank you very much. Leave us some 5-star reviews and check us out on Twitter. For Brian, for Robert, and of course for Brett Rainbow, I'm your host, Greg. Come on, you Spurs.